It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
This is hit well into center field. That one's carrying out at center. It's out of here. Ohtani with a pinch hit home run. At the plate is Mike Trout. The pitch on its way. It's blasted out to dead center field. Out of here. Ball gets away. He's going to break for the plate. Ball game is over. The Angels with a walk-off win here in the bottom of the ninth inning.
This is the Angels Recap Podcast, a review of the past week in Angels baseball. Here's your host, Trent Rush.
Hey, what's going on? And welcome to the Angels Recap Podcast. I am Trent Rush with you as the Angels are in the midst of their fourth week of the season, playing some baseball here, getting ready to close out the month of April. How crazy is that? We are already to that point in the year. As we're recording this on Wednesday morning, the Angels 11-11 right now, three games out of first place in the AL West. A lot to get to. I know that the previous week was kind of a tough one for the Angels. We'll break some of that down, but we also have seen a lot of really neat things from the Angels, including Scott Schebler, who got a double in his first at bat with the Halos, as he's been trying to help fill the void in right field for the Angels, with Juan Lagares still on the injured list, and obviously Dexter Fowler done for the season. Scotty Schebler's come up, made an impact right away, and we're going to have Scott Schebler on our podcast coming up a little bit later on. But I would be remiss if we did not start talking about Shohei Ohtani, who is now one of the top MVP candidates in the American League. And you look at, you know, there's some sports books out there. You get Trout, Ohtani 1-2 in the MVP race as far as the odds go for how incredible this dude has been. I gotta talk about Monday night. That was about as exciting of a performance as, you know, every time this guy's on the mound or every time this guy's at the plate. I don't know that I can remember a player for like just an April game that is as edge of your seat exciting as Shohei Ohtani is. I mean, this guy blows me away. Every single time he's playing in a game, you can't take your eyes off him. And what Ohtani is doing at the dish is tremendous. I mean, he's playing every game, and he looks so comfortable. That was an amazing thing. I didn't even realize that stat till it got put up on the Bally Sports West broadcast, that Shohei Ohtani has played in every game for the Angels this season and has started all but one game, came off the bench in a pinch hit situation in that one time he didn't play for the Angels. I mean, Ohtani has been in there every day, and that's the deal with Shohei. You need his bat in the lineup. Like, this guy's got to hit. And the Angels have a great lineup, and you get Trout and you get Rendon back. But especially with those guys out, you got to have Shohei in there. But part of how this team is designed to slug. This team is designed to score a ton of runs. Because you look at this pitching staff, and what you ask of the pitching is, if you can have average pitching with a great lineup, then you can be pretty good. And Angels starting pitching has to get to that point. But if you can have average starting pitching and be average on the mound, but be great at the plate, you can be pretty good. And Ohtani has been amazing in both areas. I mean, how about the fact that he gives up four runs in the first inning of that game, doesn't let him affect him, gets a double, brings in a couple of runs, bunts for a hit later in the game, helps his own cause, but also just goes lights out the rest of the way, strikes out nine batters over the next four innings after a tough first. I mean, he had gotten 7 of 8 on strikeouts at one point. We saw him throw more fastballs than he normally does. I mean, that splitter, I still think, is as nasty of a pitch as you're going to find in baseball. I think his splitter is that good. I just think Shohei Ohtani has the ability to be dominant at times. And he does have to get, you know, better command. His command, again, it was better than his previous outing, where he had all kinds of trouble with walks, and walks kill you. We all know that. But Shohei Ohtani said his command went from a 0 out of 100 to a 5 out of 100. I think that's a little harsh. I think Ohtani's command was a little better than that, particularly when he had a stretch where he struck out 7 of 8 batters. I'd say that is better than 5 out of 100 command. But look, Shohei Ohtani is going to be the harshest critic of himself, and he certainly has been demonstrating that. But you're seeing the ability on the mound. And I do still kind of go in with the approach of, you know what Shohei Ohtani is the plate and how unbelievable he is there and how much he can help this Angels lineup. I mean, as of Monday, he was tied for tops in the American League in home runs with 7 on the season. That's incredible. So you know what Shohei Ohtani does to the plate, and that's a bat that you need in the lineup every day, and he's giving you that. But then when he can pitch on top of that, it just makes him that much better. That's the deal with Ohtani, and that's how I approach Shohei, at least at this point. I approach Ohtani as, Ohtani is the hitter. He's the slugger. He's the two-hitter in the lineup, a very, very important piece to a great lineup. And then everything he does on the mound is bonus. And right now that bonus is pretty good, especially since he's coming off of Tommy John surgery. He has pitched, you know, hardly at all in 2.5 years. So it might take a little bit of time for Ohtani to get in rhythm. But if the Ohtani we're seeing right now is not quite the Ohtani that he's going to be, whoa. I mean, this guy has the ability to be a dominant pitcher. I mean, this guy could be a dominant pitcher. And we're talking about him as being a hitter first, also seeing what he can do on the mound. And, you know, maybe he won't always be or won't continue even at this point to be hitter first. It's just how it is in my mind anyway. I mean, he's a true two-way guy. He's doing things that haven't been done in a century. Ohtani has been incredible. As far as the other Angel players, you know, we mentioned Trout and Rendon coming back. I mean, for Mike Trout, I mean, the numbers that Trouty is putting up right now are just silly. I mean, just silly numbers for Mike Trout, especially when you see that he misses 3 games and his very first game he comes back and he gets a 4-hit game. I mean, so again, I told you we're taping this on Wednesday morning. As of this very moment, the time of recording this podcast, 22 games in the season, Trout's played less than 20. He's already got a 1.8 war. He's slugging 815. I mean, how about his OPS right now? His OPS right now, 1353. That's kind of the number for me. 6 home runs, a .431 batting average. He's driven in 14, scored 15, but has a .1353 OPS. I mean, I don't know if that's sustainable. Just, you know, kind of, you know, that's a bigger number than the .431 batting average. I mean, he is, Mike Trout, this is the best I've ever seen him, right? I mean, I know we're only talking about like a 20-game sample size. This is the best I have ever seen Mike Trout, just as far as a 20-game stretch of just consistent dominance. I mean, the games, you just don't see games go by where he doesn't do something incredible. I mean, it's every single night for Mike Trout. Coming off of a disappointing year for him. I say disappointing lightly. Yeah, a tough year for Trout. He just finished 5th in MVP voting, right? But he has come back in this year. I mean, he's just been off the charts. You just would love to be able to see him keep this up. Anthony Rendon is traditionally a slow starter anyway, and I know that he you know, the Angels have played as many games with him as they've been without him. So you're still kind of waiting for Rendon. But, I mean, Rendon is always a player that gets better as the season goes on. So I have no concerns whatsoever with Anthony Rendon. I mean, I think back to the 2019 Nationals World Series team, that team took a little bit of time to get going, and that's just something that with Anthony Rendon, you know, especially now coming off an injury, I'm looking forward to Rendon really hitting his stride. And the Angels have only played 10 games this year with Trout and Rendon in together. They're 7-3 in those games, so I'm excited about Anthony Rendon. I'm excited about, you know, his what he is going to bring when he really gets clicking. He's still producing, but we all know Anthony Rendon can be a lot better than what he has been to this point. And just kind of looking at his numbers throughout his career, I mean, really, it's, you know, you go to June, and that's when things really start to take off for Anthony Rendon throughout his career. I mean, you look at his June, July, August, September numbers. I mean, this guy's incredible. So I'm excited about Rendon hitting his stride, getting going. He's always a, you know, over the course of his career, he's close to 10 batting points higher in the second half than he typically is in the first half. Drives in more RBI in the second half than he does in the first half. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing that Anthony Rendon. I don't think you're going to have to wait till the second half to get it. I think it's coming soon, but just give this guy a little bit of time to find his timing. You know, I talk about the Angels, and here they are, you know, at the moment we're recording this, 2-4. On this road trip. It would be great to see the Angels go 3-1 in these next four games, especially, you know, you get Seattle for three of those four, including Texas tonight. And then you go into a series, a homestand where you're taking on the two teams in the World Series from last year in Tampa and the Dodgers. So, you know, all of a sudden, you know, this April stretch becomes pretty important. And I don't know that we've talked enough about this, you know, for the Angels. And I know that I don't know that sputtered is the right word, but they've had some struggles in the last, you know, week or so. I don't know that we've talked enough about the impact of those COVID postponements. I mean, I think that has a real impact, especially at this time of the year. Like the Angels came in, they played so well on that Friday night going into that, during that Minnesota series, the first game of the series, they played so well. And then, you know, for Saturday and Sunday to get pushed to May 20th and what's going to end up being a doubleheader here at the Big A. But for the Angels, I mean, they wanted to play those games. And they were playing good at the time, or they were playing well at the time, I should say. Might as well use proper English here on the show. And you just kind of think about what could have been for the Angels, because what that did was it really screwed up your pitching. I mean, it screwed up your rotation a lot, and it screwed up your bullpen. But I look at, how about the starting pitchers? I mean, Alex Cobb had to wait 10 days between starts because of that. And then he comes back, gives up 4 runs in 2 2/3. He was rusty. You know, the Angels didn't need that rest of the time. I mean, maybe if you're in July or August, you welcome the 2 unexpected days off. You certainly don't in April. Griffin Canning had to wait 10 days between starts. You know, he did have the piggyback day with Otani, but the 10 days between starts, he comes back 6 earned runs and 2 1/3. I have to think that part of that had to do with having that extra time and basically being skipped a start in April. April is not when you want to be skipping starts. You don't want to have two pitchers be 10 days between starts when you're in April. Like, that's not supposed to happen. I mean, Heaney and Bundy have been good. Quintana's still trying to figure things out. And Quintana has struggled this point in the season. He had the one good outing last week, but, you know, 3 of his first 4 have been tough for Jose Quintana. So he's got to get that on track. I mean, this is an Angels team with high expectations this year. And the lineup is too good to, you know, for them to not be winning a lot of ball games. The Angels need to win. And the Angels have the pieces to win, and the guy's got to execute. I thought Quintana, you know, finding the first base side of the rubber, I thought that would be good for him. His first start out of that was pretty good. But, you know, then he, you know, it wasn't like he was really crushed against the Rangers on Tuesday, but, you know, just gave up a couple clutch at-bats that, you know, did not go his way. And for Jose Quintana, I hope he can find it because this rotation needs him to produce. But I think that the COVID postponements also screwed up the bullpen, as I mentioned. Like, take example Junior Guerra. Okay, Junior Guerra, first 4 outings of the season, no earned runs in 7 innings. I mean, he had been lights out. Next 3, 5 earned in 2 1/3. And that was after having 10 days off between pitching. I mean, that's something that really impacts your guys, having that kind of a layoff in April. Way less than ideal. Like, Raisel Iglesias had to wait 15 days between save chances. Over 2 weeks between save chances. So he comes back and he comes, you know, first time pitching after having basically 2 weeks of, you know, either no pitching at all or in low stress situations, and he blew that first save coming back. I mean, I don't know that that's all that unexpected when these guys had these unexpected layoffs. And, you know, you set up your plan for usage like Joe Madden does. You have got times that you wanted to get certain guys in. And then when you have 2 days off in there it screws everything up. I'd say the only advantage would be a guy like Mike Myers, who could use the 2 days off. And, you know, with the exception of one poor outing against the Astros, he's been really good this year. He's been used a lot. I think that's something that the Angels have to manage moving forward, is keeping an eye on the usage for Mike Myers the rest of the way. But he's been so impactful for this bullpen, and you're trying to win all these games, and you're in a lot of close games, and you need Mike Myers. You need Raisel Iglesias. Like, these are our key pieces. But, you know, these are pitchers that have had to wait. Like, Mike Myers, for him, getting a couple days off probably was good, but he is way more the exception than the rule. And then I look at the Minnesota Twins. So I talk about, you know, the Angels' impact, and I'm like, well, you know, how real is this? Is it just the Angels that have kind of struggled a little bit since that those postponements and guys, you know, not performing? Well, how about the Twins have lost 7 of 8 since then? And they're playing the A's, Pirates, and Indians. I mean, you got a 3-game series against the Pirates in there, and you've lost 7 of 8. So it's not like it's just the Angels that this is impacting. It's hit the Twins a lot harder than it's hit the Halos. But I do think that those postponements are more significant than I think people have let on. At least that's the way that I have seen it with this team. Now, I think we're probably enough time removed from that now to where you kind of move on. But those two postponements, like the unexpected days off in the middle in April, when you're setting plans and you're getting guys in a rhythm and doing all that, to then have that time off that really shifts everything and bounces other guys around. There are a bunch of consequences of that. It takes like a week to recover from it. I think the Angels are finally at that point, but it's taken some time. And I think that absolutely is a real thing. And I would imagine, you know, who knows how things are going to go the rest of the way. Kind of a bad break for the Angels. I mean, they didn't even have, there was no COVID issues with the Angels. It was with the Twins. Just a tough break right there with the Twins having to deal with that. And then that impacts the Angels as well. Now it's time to get to our guest, the 30-year-old outfielder for the Angels, left-handed batter out of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, former 26th-round pick of the Dodgers, but really was a star prospect in their system, got traded to the Reds, spent last season with Atlanta for a brief time, and now he is with the Angels organization. Here now our chat with Angels outfielder Scott Schebler.
First of all, good to see you here at the big league level and doing big things for the Angels already. Tell you what, pretty cool. First at bat, seeing that double there against the Rangers. What is it? What's it been like joining this Angels club this year and being around, you know, this particular group of guys?
Yeah, it's amazing. I knew that we had a special group in spring training, but getting into a real season where things count, it's cool because a lot of things haven't changed. You know, like the expectations that we had in spring training, we still have them, and you know, we had a little tough stretch there in Houston, but we're seeming to climb out of it. So it's just fun that we have that kind of group that can climb out of those holes really, really quickly, because you got to climb out of those fast. So, and we've seemed to have done it. So pretty happy to be here.
There's been a lot of talk about like the room and this particular clubhouse. I think it certainly is, you know, this is my 7th year with the Angels. We've never talked about that more than this season. You've been around in several different organizations. Have you sensed anything different with this particular group of guys? I know it's only April, but have you sensed anything different than maybe some other places?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's just, you know, we never feel like we're out of the game with this offense. I mean, yesterday we were down 4-0
4-1.
And yeah. it was like nothing happened. You know, we came back and scored 3 runs and we were right back in the ball game. And, you know, it kind of felt like we were going to win the game. It's just a matter of time. And that feeling is just so cool. Cause I've been in some clubhouses that haven't had that feel, but it's just like every game we feel like we're in it. Even when we're down, like when we were down in Houston there for a while, obviously once it got to 16 runs, it was kind of heavy, but you know, for the longest time, it was like, if you can keep us at this number, we're going to catch up. So, I mean, that is it's a really good feeling to have, being in the dugout and never being out of a game.
How much fun is that? I mean, to be in a lineup like this, where, I mean, it's one after another with this Angels team.
It is, it's pretty ridiculous, to be honest. It is, it is so fun. It makes the game, which the game is so hard. It makes it a lot more enjoyable and a lot easier to come to the ballpark every day, knowing like, okay, if this guy doesn't get it done, this guy's going to get it done. You know, it's just really, really cool. And it snowballs in a good direction. You know, it just keeps going. And I think that's what's going to happen in the next month is we're just going to get rolling, and it's going to be really tough to slow us down.
Scott, you've been a big league player since 2017. Last season, just one game with the Braves, and now signed with this Angels team, originally on a minor league deal. Here you are now with this Angels club here. What's the journey been like for you to climb back into the big leagues? I know you had a great spring training and to kind of earn a place here with this Angels club at the major league level.
Yeah, it feels amazing to be back in the big leagues, obviously. It does feel weird to be traveling again. After last year of not a whole lot of traveling, it feels like you're going from being stationary to going 1,000 miles an hour again with all the travel. So that's been really cool. And it'll become normal again, I'm sure, here soon. But it's just been a blast. The journey's been tough, there's no doubt, coming back from injuries and all that. But there's not a place I would rather be than right here, right now, for sure.
I want to go back to your days growing up in Iowa. So as I understand it, both your parents are engineers, correct?
Yeah, they're way smarter than me.
I was going to say, how in the world did you become a baseball player?
Probably my only avenue out was being a baseball player with my parents smart. My sister's a nurse. I've got a family full of nurses and engineers, and I became a baseball player. I have no idea how it happened. I know I put a lot of work in, but I don't know if I got the smarts. My parents seem to steal all those and give it to my sister, maybe.
So my wife's a nurse, so she'll appreciate the love for some nurses.
Yeah, my sister. Yeah, thank you for her during this whole pandemic. My sister will send me snaps and pictures of her at work, and it's been tough on her. I know that.
Yeah, no question. Well, I'm just glad we get to talk a little bit of baseball here today. But so you played four sports. In high
five actually. Five. I don't want to correct. Yeah, five.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's funny. I just did another interview and we were just talking about it. It's kind of funny that you said that.
Yeah. So, I mean, so you're a five sport high school athlete. I know like so many times, like now, especially in Southern California, there's a lot of specialization out there. Guys like to just play, you know, a lot of parents will have their kids. Oh no, you're going to play one sport and that's it. You're across the board, just athleticism, right? How does that help you now in your, you know, major league baseball career, having that background of playing all kinds of different sports?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was, there's a lot of different skills from a lot of different sports, but the biggest thing for me is like, I got to look forward to a different season, a different clubhouse. You know, I got to interact with different people throughout the year. So I think that helped me, just understanding that not everybody's the same and not every clubhouse is going to be the same. So you kind of understand the dynamics of that. But as far as honing in skills, specializing would have been tough for me. I would have got burnt out very easily of one thing. I just love to compete. So that's why I played as many sports as possible, because I always wanted to be competing at all times. So, now specializing in something, there are things that I've learned in other sports that have definitely helped me to get where I am. There's no doubt about that.
Going back to just your journey for a moment, Scott, just being in a lot of different organizations, I think that fans probably don't realize like what goes on. I mean, again, a bunch of different clubs for you, but like when you're traded for the first time, like what is that feeling like? And now trying to, you know, find yourself in a new club and, you know, it's your first year now with this Angels organization. Yeah. Like what's that part of the game like?
Yeah. To be brutally honest, it stunk to get traded. I came up with the Dodgers and, you know, I had that blind loyalty towards them. They took a chance on me and, you know, I thought I was gonna be a Dodger for the rest of my life. You know, that's just your mindset as a young kid getting drafted. Like this is the team I want to play for. These are the guys that helped me get there. I want to be with these guys forever. But it happens fast. So yeah, of course, you know, it took me a couple of weeks to wrap my head around, okay, I'm going to be part of a new organization. And the Reds were nothing but great to me. You know, they gave me my first real chance in the big leagues. So I have nothing but great things to say about them. So yeah, it was, I mean, like I said, to be honest, it stunk at first, but to understand that I was going to a place that I was actually going to play a lot more often, you know, once I wrapped my head around that, it was a little easier to go there for sure.
Is that something that you feel like, you know, changing teams, like, you know, you were with Atlanta very briefly last season. Now you're with this Angels club. Is that something that maybe gets easier over time once you've kind of made changes before, kind of coming into a new room, meeting new guys?
Yeah, I think the first time's the hardest for sure. And then once you understand that it's not always a bad thing, you know, it's not always a bad thing. It's not, you might be going into a better situation somewhere else. I think once you understand that, and you understand this might be the best way to prolong my career, because, you know, in reality, we have very short careers. It's just the way it is. So once you can wrap your head around that, it becomes a lot easier. And of course, moving the family and all that stuff, it that doesn't get any easier. But, you know, coming in different clubhouses and seeing different clubhouses, it's cool, because you can, you know, there's things you've seen other places that you think are good, and then things that you think that should change for sure. So it's gotten a lot easier. That's for sure.
Yeah. You're spending a lot of time now in the outfield with Mike Trout. I just wanted to get some of your thoughts on what it's like playing beside best player in the world.
Well, there's no doubt he is the best player in the world. I mean, he showed that last night, taking 3 days off and then coming back with a 4-for-5 game. It's just fun to watch. You know, he's such a special athlete. He's such a great guy. You know, he's such a good clubhouse. Like, there's not enough good words I can say about him. But I mean, just to watch him on a daily basis, he is he's pretty unbelievable. You think he's good when you're watching him on TV and you're playing against him, but being able to see it day in and day out, it's a different level. There's just no doubt. He just has a different level than everybody else, it seems like.
You know, it's funny watching this Angels team, and I was having this conversation with Justin Upton. There's just a lot of veterans with this group. And I know we were just talking about the camaraderie and how the guys are getting along, and there's kind of a different feel with this group. How much of that do you think has to do with you know, so many veterans that have been there before and are really, you know, what Joe Maddon likes to call level five guys? All I want to do is win. Like, how big a deal is that?
It's huge. I mean, you know, we do take losses hard. Like in Houston, that was tough on us for sure. But we knew if we did the right things, we'd crawl out of that hole. And we did. And we're in a better place now. And, you know, I think going through those things early on in the season can sometimes, you know, solidify the bond in the clubhouse. And I think that's what's happening right now. And it's really cool to see. And the veteran guys are awesome. I mean, first of all, they're unbelievably skilled. And they have all that experience behind it. So it's a really good dynamic in the locker room right now.
Scott, if Angel fans are trying to get to know you, right? New to the club. We want to get to know Scott Schebel. We see you running hard to the bases and, you know, taking great at bats and looking good in the outfield. What are some things that Angels fans should know about you, Scott?
Oh, personally or baseball wise?
Personal.
I'm a dog person. I live in Arizona now. I don't live in Iowa anymore. I don't do the winters very good. So I can relate to all the Southern California people that love all the good weather.
All right. How many dogs you got?
I don't have any dogs. So I'm just a dog person. So I grew up with dogs. I like with my lifestyle, it almost seems unfair to get a dog because I'd be leaving it all the time. I think that would be harder for me to get a dog and then leave it for weeks at a time. But I'm a big dog person. I mean, I grew up with dogs and hunting dogs and all that. So the first chance I get, I'm going to get a puppy for sure.
Well, I got a couple of lab puppies that maybe I'll have you babysit sometime.
Oh, there you go.
Just mess around. Hey, Scott, really appreciate the time today. It's good to see you here at the big league level, and looking forward to seeing your continued success. Thanks so much, man. I
appreciate it.
Hey, man, I'm fired up that I got a dog sitter out of the deal. That's awesome. No, really cool of Scott Schebel to give us that kind of time. Who doesn't love dog people? Really enjoyed getting to know Scotty Schebler a little bit. And he's been impactful for the Angels already. Looking forward to seeing what else he can do for this Angels team while they are still trying to navigate their way through some injury trouble. You know, I was even thinking in spring training, I mean, maybe at times this year we would see a Lagares Schebler platoon out there in right field. Like, maybe that ends up still happening at some point with the Angels. Like, that's a possibility now, and maybe moving forward that ends up being the case. So I'm looking forward to seeing Schebler continue to do his thing. Seems like a really cool dude. He's got a bunch of big league experience. I know he struggled in 2019. Only got the one plate appearance for the Atlanta Braves last season, but has returned to the big leagues and is, you know, so far off and running for the Angels. I know that his number numbers right now. Not ideally. He can be better than what he has been. However, getting that double in that first at bat was a sign of good things, and he's an important base runner as well. And it's just trying to help fill a void right now in right field. Dexter Fowler done for the season, something the Angels are working to overcome here the rest of the way. We'll see what direction the Angels end up going out there in right field. But if Lagares and Schebler can find a way to provide some consistency and be able to extend this lineup a little bit, maybe that ends up being the Angels' answer, at least for right now, until some of the prospects down on the farm can get to the level that you can bring them back up and they can really contribute there. I did want to point out something that Albert Pujols, by the way, going into yesterday's game, 4 home runs in 7 games, now 667 career home runs for Albert Pujols. He has been awesome to start this season. Now, the batting average hasn't been great, but I think it's like around 220 right now. But Albert Pujols is driving in runs. He's showing some pop. We've seen that same kind of energy coming out of spring training. I thought he had a really good spring. We're seeing that now. And you just need Albert, like I've said before. He's played a lot, yes. But as the Angels get healthier, he'll probably end up sitting a little bit more. I don't know. Right now, he's a tough bat to take out of the lineup because he's producing for you. And he gives you good at-bats in key situations. That's what Albert Pujols does. But, again, if you can bottle up the best of Albert for 80 games, 90 games, maybe it ends up being closer to 100 now, or whatever it ends up being for Albert Pujols, if you can just bottle up the very best of Albert, don't overstretch him. He's played a lot of first base. At some point, you got to try to back that off a little bit, but I guess by necessity, that's been it. But at the same time, Shohei Ohtani's got to be in the lineup every day. So because of that, Albert has to play a lot of first base, and I give Albert a lot of credit. He's still a very effective glove over there, and at Albert's age in the American League, this guy should be DHing every day, but he's not, and he's working his tail off and playing some good first base for the Angels to get his at-bats, and he's showing some pop here to start the season. I think he's been one of the better surprises for the Angels. Also, Justin Upton is on fire right now. I'm hitting the ball to the ballpark. Another guy where the batting average isn't, jumping out at you right now, but I'm not all that worried about that. We're seeing, Upton with pop, and he's got 6 homers right now. I'm encouraged by those two who did go back-to-back on Monday. That kind of gets lost after, when you have Shohei do his thing on Monday, and then Mike Trout gets 4 hits in his first game back, you kind of forget about Upton and Albert. As you just look at the amount of storylines with this Angels team, that's the deal with the Angels. Hey, I mean, I don't know, this is probably not a 100-win team, the Angels aren't, but man, they are exciting every single night. You can't take your eyes off this club. This is as exciting and as interesting of a team as you're going to find in baseball. And you're starting to see a lot of the national outlets starting to come around on that. They're being lured in. They're being drawn in because of Ohtani. And then once they go and watch the Angels, they're like, wait a minute, this team's pretty fun. Between, obviously, Trout, and then you got Jay up in there, and Albert's doing his thing. And, hey, what do you know? This Jared Walsh guy is pretty good. And, David Fletcher's pretty fun to watch. And Jose Iglesias, a great shortstop. You start putting together the pieces with this Angels team, and I think a lot of people across the country are starting to fall in love with Angels baseball. It's understandable. It's a really fun team to watch, and you are getting a treat. You are getting something exciting happening basically every single night with this Angels club, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it translates in what's going to be a very crowded American League West. Like right now, the Angels, 3 games out of first, they're 500, but the top 4 teams in the division are 500 or better. I don't think it's going to stay that way, but I do think it's going to stay bunched. I think it's going to be really close, really competitive the whole way through, and it's going to make for a really fun season ahead. All right, that's going to do it for us here on the Angels Recap Podcast. Big homestand coming up here at the Big A starting on Monday against the Tampa Bay Rays, followed by the Dodgers. So a World Series homestand coming up this next week. Go to angels.com/tickets. Try to get your tickets. Get to the Big A. As far as I understand, I think we're getting some more people in the ballpark now. Angels allowed to do that. So that should be good. And looking forward to seeing as many of you as possible here at Angel Stadium to enjoy exciting Angels baseball, because this really is a fun group this year. And you get a treat to watch this club every single night. I know for me, I'm certainly enjoying watching that. For Hannah Stang, my name is Trent Rush. Thanks for joining us. This has been the Angels Recap Podcast. Take care, everybody.